How God Can and Will Restore Your Marriage, A Book for Women from Someone Who's Been There. Written and read by Aaron Teal. Chapter 1. My Beloved, I thank God as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. 2 Timothy 1, 2-4. Dearly beloved sister in Christ, it's not by chance that you are holding this book in your hands. It is by divine providence. God has heard your cry for help as he did mine, and he has come to rescue you. The pages that follow will guide you, as he guided me when others said it was completely hopeless. What he asked me to do was not easy, nor will it be easy for you. But if you want a miracle in your life, it can happen. If you want a testimony to share with others on the faithfulness of God, it will happen. If you really want God to restore a marriage that is hopeless, then read on. God can and will restore your marriage as he did mine. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. That's from 2 Chronicles 16:9. He has been looking for you to help you. Are you ready? You will need zealous obedience. You must enter by the narrow gate, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. That's from Matthew 7:14. It is your choice whether to follow his narrow way now or turn back. This is the time to choose. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by the loving Lord your God, by obeying his voice and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days. That's from Deuteronomy 30:19-20. If you are still reading and have not thrown this book away, then you have chosen to go on. Tears are in my eyes as I think of the glorious resurrection of your marriage and family that awaits you. I pray blessings upon each and every one of you. I glory that someday we will meet either on this side or the other side of heaven where there are no more tears. Dear sweet sister in Christ Jesus, God can and will restore your marriage. You have his word on it. It says, "And Jesus answered them and said to them, Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt it, you shall not only do what was done, but even if you say to this mountain, Be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen." That's from Matthew 21:21. Since you are reading this book, I assume that you are in a crisis in your life because of your marriage. Has your husband left you? Have you left or asked your husband to leave? Perhaps you have gotten this book before either of you has taken this drastic step of leaving. Even if a divorce has been spoken of during an argument, or divorce papers have been filed, or a divorce has gone through, you must believe that all things can work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's from Romans 8:28. As you go through the personal trial in your troubled marriage, if you really want things to work out for good, you must first love God and really want his purpose for your life. Right now, his purpose is for you to draw closer to him, to let him transform you more closely into his image. And take courage, for God has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's from Hebrews 13:5. God has not left your side. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." That's from Psalm 23:4. I'm sure that the valley of the shadow of death describes how you feel about your situation, but God has allowed this for your good. Only afterwards will you shine forth as gold. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor." That's from 1 Peter 1:7. The most important thing for you to do right now is to be still and know that I am God. That's from Psalm 46:10. Then follow God's ways. Make sure that everything you do or say follows the scriptures. Be sure that it follows the Bible consistently. God has no desire for your marriage to be over. Remember that Jesus himself said, "A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Matthew 19:5. Also it says, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, so take heed to your spirit. That's from Malachi 2:16. Satan is the one who wants your marriage destroyed, not the Lord, not God. Remember that the thief, the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. That's from John 10:10. Don't believe the devil's lies, but take every thought captive. That's from 2 Corinthians 10:5. Don't allow him to steal your husband. Don't allow him to destroy your family, your life, and your children, and steal your future. Believe me and believe others who can tell you from experience that divorce will destroy your children and steal your children's future as well as your own. Follow God's way instead. Take him as your husband as you await restoration. For your husband is your maker. That's what Isaiah 54 says. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. That's from Isaiah 54:10. Pour over the Bible, letting him wash you with the water of the word. That's from Ephesians 5:26. Pray and believe what Scripture says, not what you see. It says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. That's from Hebrews 11:1. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's from Hebrews 11:6. No one but God knows exactly what you're going through or the answers you need right now. If you pray, which is simply talking to God, and listen to him, which is reading his word, the Bible, he can lead you to the victory that he has for you. Don't choose to follow what others may say, those of the world, friends in the church, pastors, or any other counselor who tells you something he has heard or read. If you are praying and reading God's word, God will speak to you first, in your heart, or during Bible reading. Then someone will confirm the direction in which he is guiding you, which will be consistent with his word. Most people, Christian or not, tell you things that sound good and feel good in the flesh. But if it doesn't follow Scripture, it is wrong. You will be on sinking sand. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's Psalm 1:1. When it is of God, it usually sounds crazy, like believing for your marriage when others say, get out. And it always needs the help of the Holy Spirit to carry it out. Don't act impulsively or be quick to move. God usually says, wait. And many times during the wait, he changes the situation. God says that he is the wonderful and mighty counselor. That's from Isaiah 9:6. Don't you want the best? Wouldn't you want a counselor who knows the future? One who can actually turn the heart of your husband? There is only one who can show you the right direction. Trust him and him alone. There are actually more broken marriages in the church than there are in the world. So don't follow any Christian counselor or pastor who gives you the world's advice instead of God's. Sadly, too many marriages are destroyed by Christian marriage counselors. They get you and your husband to talk about the past and to say things that should never be said. Cruel statements are lies of the devil or fleshly feelings. Then, after the counselor listens to what she has prompted you to say, she'll tell you that your situation is hopeless. If someone, including your spouse, has told you that your situation is hopeless, then start to praise the Lord. Hopeless situations are exactly where the Lord chooses to show his power. It says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's from Matthew 19:26. Work with God, and don't believe that without your husband's help or cooperation, your marriage can't be saved or improved. Our ministry was founded by and for those who are the only partners seeking marriage restoration. All that is needed is your heart and the Lord's strength. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may support those whose heart is completely his. That's from 2 Chronicles 16:9. I have had the privilege of being counseled by the best counselor, and I want to share some of what he has told me through his word. No two situations are exactly alike. Nevertheless, his word applies to all. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4. Search his word after you have prayed. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. That's from Matthew 7:7. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's from James 1:5. You must have faith. And where do you get faith? From him. Ask him for faith, since all good things come from above. That's from James 1:17. God's Word, His Principles. Beloved, whether you know the Bible well or you have never read it before, the Bible alone must be your guide to restore your marriage. The book that you're reading consists of all the verses that the Lord used to guide me through the fires of trial to my restoration. The Lord showed me that I had violated many of the principles of marriage, and He also showed me other sins that I was unaware of or had never dealt with by repenting of them. All of these sins and violations led to the destruction of my marriage. It is the same with all who find their marriages in shambles or completely destroyed, including you. You will soon find, if you are not aware of it yet, that it is not just your husband who violated God's principles. You will find, as I did, that you have done much to contribute to the destruction of your marriage. This understanding will be the turning point as you accept and look at your sins, not your husband's. The wisdom that I learned from reading and rereading the verses of the scriptures that the Lord led me to helped me to understand what the Bible really was and what I needed it to be in my life, my guide. The Bible is filled with the spiritual laws of His creation. When God created the world, He not only made it with physical laws, like the law of gravity, but He created it with spiritual laws as well. Just as violating the physical law of gravity will result in the consequences of us stumbling or an object falling, so will violating the principles in Scripture regarding marriage result in your marriage falling. Another amazing discovery is that the ways of the world are always opposite the ways of God and His Word. The way you have been dealing with your husband's leaving you, his adultery, his drinking or drugs, or the divorce paper he served you, more than likely is the same way that anyone in the world would have dealt with them. What you will find, as I did, is that this is the exact opposite of the way that God intended trials to be dealt with in order to bring victory. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John 5:4. When I began to follow God's way, which was the opposite of the way everyone else was doing it, then I started to see my marriage turn around. The ways of the world always result in destruction, but the ways of God always bring about healing and restoration. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's from Galatians 6:8. I have put together a quick reference in this chapter to help you to immediately get your marriage out of crisis. These principles, if followed to the letter with a sincere and humble heart, will result in an immediate or future restoration of your marriage. It is guaranteed, not by me, but by God and His Word. The more a woman follows these principles, the more restoration she will see as a direct result of her obedience. Those who stay in crisis or who never see their marriages restored are those who refuse to believe and obey the spiritual laws of God or erroneously believe that they are above the laws of God. One of the Be Encouraged videos is devoted entirely of testimonies of mistakes that kept women from restoration. If you are one of those who believe strongly that you are not under the law and are therefore free to violate God's laws, may it never be. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. That's from Romans 6:15. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. That's from Romans 3:31. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? That's from Romans 6:2. Those who understood the law of gravity learned to rise above it, which resulted in man being able to fly. The Christian who studies the Word of God will rise above the world and astonish the unbeliever, who will then seek God. However, a person who believes that he is above the law of gravity and violates that law by jumping out of a plane without a parachute will fall to his death. This is why so many Christians live lives full of destruction. Believe and obey. If you are like many women who want to restore their marriages, you must not only believe that God can restore your marriage, you must also obey His word. This book was put together by someone who was desperate, desperate to follow God's word no matter what. Are you willing to follow God's word no matter what it costs, no matter how much it hurts? The question you must ask yourself is, how important is saving my marriage? Receive anything. If you don't obey God with zealous obedience, you should expect nothing from Him because you are double-minded. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's from James 1:7-8. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love thy law. That's from Psalm 119:113. Faith by my works. If you say that you have faith to trust God for your marriage, then act on it. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. That's from James 2:14-18. There are so many testimonies of those who chose to believe instead of obeying. Every one of them is still believing for their marriage, but not one is restored. Tear it out and throw it from you. Again, how important is your desire to have a restored marriage? Are you desperate enough to do whatever it takes to save it? If you don't believe God calls us to that kind of obedience, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5:29-30. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of your parts of your body perishes than for your whole body to go into hell. Through the entire chapter of Matthew 5, Jesus calls us to a higher obedience than what had been written in the Old Testament. Read it to motivate yourselves to obey to the point of looking like a fanatic. If what you are doing right now does not seem crazy to others, you need to become more radical in your commitment to your marriage, because that's what it takes. We all must be like Peter in our obedience. Each time he was asked to do something, like allowing Jesus to wash his feet, he went overboard. He went overboard when Jesus asked him to get out of the boat. He was the only one who followed Jesus with such a zealous commitment. Even so, Jesus rebuked Peter for his little faith. Are you lukewarm? So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's from Revelation 3:16. Trust and believe that God is able and wants to restore and rebuild you, your marriage, and your family. God does not have any other person out there for you, nor does He think you've picked the wrong person. It says, for the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he's living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning her husband. So then, if she be joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though joined to another man. That's from Romans 7:2. If you are thinking about remarriage, it's not an option. That second marriage has less than a 20% chance of survival. You would have an 8 out of 10 chance of going through another painful divorce. Then it's on to number 3 and 4. Stop now at whatever number you're on. There is a better way. Instead, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. That's from Psalm 27:14, Psalm 31:24, and Isaiah 35:4. Oh, give us help against the adversary, for the deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we shall do valiantly, and it is He who will tread down our adversaries. That's from Psalm 60:11 and Psalm 108:12. Please read chapter 10 for I Hate Divorce for more knowledge. Don't talk to others about your situation. Talk to God, search His word for the answer. Seek and you shall find. That's from Matthew 7:7 and Luke 11:9. He is the mighty counselor. That's from Isaiah 9:6. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's Psalm 1:1. Don't tell others about your situation, for she who shames him is as rottenness to his bones. That's Proverbs 12:4. Also, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. That's Proverbs 31:11. And By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's Matthew 12:37. A talebearer separates intimate friends. That's Proverbs 16:28 and Proverbs 17:9. See chapter 6, Kindness is on Her Tongue, for more knowledge. Such knowledge is not optional, but essential. It says, for my people perish for a lack of knowledge. That's Hosea 4:6. Ask God for a female prayer partner who will believe for God with you for your marriage. Stay away from singles groups. You do not belong there if you have a desire to restore your marriage. Stay away from support groups that are nothing more than pity parties. If you want a restored marriage, don't attend a divorce recovery group that will encourage you to move on. You have to choose now whether you want hope or a closure with your marriage. Instead of joining a group, we strongly suggest that you pray and ask the Lord for just one other woman who will help you. All I had was one other person and the Lord. All you need is one person and the Lord. You can find an encouragement partner who understands what you're going through on our website. Stop all arguing with your husband. This one principle will be a deciding factor as to whether your marriage will be restored. There are so many scriptures on this topic, pages and pages I could type out for you. Here are just a few. Agree with your adversary quickly. That's Matthew 5:25, King James Version. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. That's Proverbs 15:1. The beginning of strife is like letting out of water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. That's from Proverbs 17:14. Even a fool is considered wise when keeping silent. That's Proverbs 17:28. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. That's Proverbs 31:26. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Proverbs 23. And he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. That's Proverbs 18:1. Have you been a contentious woman? See chapter 5, A Contentious Woman, and chapter 7, One Without a Word, for more knowledge. Remove the hate or hurt, then try to look lovingly into your husband's eyes. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Psalm 34:5. And whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Matthew 23:12. Luke 14:11, Luke 18:14. Peter asked how many times he should forgive his brother who sinned against him. 7 times, he suggested. But Jesus replied, I do not say up to you 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. That's 490 times. That's taken from Matthew 18:22. Have you decided to not forgive your husband for what he has done to you or to your children? The lack of forgiveness is very dangerous to you and the future of your marriage. For more knowledge, read chapter 8, A Gentle and Quiet Spirit, under the section Forgiveness. If you have trouble forgiving, get our testimony tape. It is a powerful example of how God gives you the forgiveness for your husband as you yield to Him. You must begin to see your husband as God sees him. Pray for your husband. You need to first forgive him and any who are involved with him, friends, family, co-workers, and even the other woman. Again, see chapter 8, A Gentle and Quiet Spirit, under the section Forgiveness, about the dangers of not forgiving. Then you will be ready to pray for the man God wants your husband to be. Stop looking at the bad things he is doing. Replace that with asking God to show you the good that he is doing, and especially the good he has done for you in the past. See chapter 6, Kindness is on Her Tongue, under the section Respectful, for more knowledge. Thank God for these things and take the time to thank your husband when he calls or comes by. If your husband has left you, don't call him. But if you have left your husband or ordered him out of the house, you must call him and ask for his forgiveness. This point is critical. The longer you wait, the greater the possibility of adultery if it hasn't occurred already. Please read the testimonies on our website, which provide evidence of how these very principles worked in the lives of women who followed them. Once you have repented, then do not keep repenting. This can be counterproductive. Also, whether your husband accepts your apology or not is not the issue. You are doing it out of humility and obedience to God, nothing more. Speak kindly and lovingly to your husband when you have an opportunity to talk with him. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs 16:24. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 17:22 and Proverbs 18:14. You don't have to be joyful about your marriage problems. Just be joyful that God has them all under His control. All discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12:11. Don't listen to the gossip or anyone who tries to give you bad reports about your husband. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Maybe your husband says he's not involved with anyone else, yet you know he is. Nevertheless, you must believe him instead. You're not being stupid or naive. You are expressing unconditional or agape love. Sometimes it is your family or closest friends who try to persuade you to pursue divorce or tell your husband off for the things he has done or is doing. You must separate yourself from those who attempt to lead you astray from God by feeding your flesh and emotions. Leave the presence of a fool or you will not discern words of knowledge. That's from Proverbs 14:7. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip. Proverbs 20:19. If you slander your husbands, other will slander your husband too. And it says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. That's from Psalm 101:5. Because you will receive much advice that is contrary to the will and the word of God, don't share your situation with anyone. Ultimately, it will arouse self-pity and anger in you. These emotions are of the flesh and will war against your spirit. God says in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Listening, discussing, or seeking counsel for your situation will also bring in confusion, since most Christians do not really know the Word of God, and even pastors may advise you contrary to God's Word. Unless they have walked on the same water, they may disregard or minimize God's principles when you desperately need the entire, uncompromised Word of God to save your marriage. And do not try to find out what your husband is up to. If you do suspect there is someone else, or you know that there is someone else he is involved with, then do what God says. Let your eyes look directly in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. That's Proverbs 4:25. Also, do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. That's Proverbs 3:25-26. And again, remember, love believes all things. That's from 1 Corinthians 13:7. This is the end of chapter 1.